But we ain't here to talk about Alabama football. We're here to talk about Jesus. Y'all ready to talk about Jesus? Real quick, y'all, before I even get started in the message, it helps me if y'all help me. Does that make sense? If I say something that y'all like, don't be quiet. Don't hold it in. Bo, if you want to get up and shout, go for it, you know. If you get excited, say amen. Give me something, because that pulls it out of me. Because I'm going to be straight up honest with you. It's kind of awkward when you sit here and talk to 100 people and they just stare at you and nobody talks back. You feel like you're kind of talking to a brick wall, you know. So, like I say, if y'all get excited, let me hear it. But no, today, as I was getting ready for today's message, I had all kind of different thoughts about what I wanted to talk about and what I've known about this for probably a month now, and I'm a professional procrastinator. Anybody fall in that category? So last night, I'm sitting there and I'm watching the Alabama game. I'm like, all right, as soon as this is over, I got all my thoughts, I got all my notes together. I said, I'm going to sit down and put it together. It's going to be a piece of cake. Because I've been getting good thoughts about this for a solid month now. Well, the game got over. Gent started watching the Georgia game. I went to the little office room and I pulled out my phone, got all my notes out, and wrote them all down. I'm like, all right, God, don't none of this line up. What are we going to do now? About 10 hours, I'm finna get it and tell people about how good you are and what you've done. And, y'all, I literally was so desperate. I grabbed my Bible, started flipping through it. You know, Clint was talking the other day, you open it up, whatever it lands on, that's what you preach. It got to that point, and I'm like, I can't do that. Like, I'm not fisting to stand in front of all y'all and give y'all a half-hearted message. And so anyways, I lay there, and I literally, I'm such a good Christian, I fell asleep reading my Bible. I woke up face down in the Bible, and I don't know if it was osmosis, what it was, but it must have absorbed into my mind, because when I woke up, everything clicked. All my notes that I'd been thinking about, they all came together. I'm like, praise God, thank you, because I don't know how you did that, but I'm glad you did it. So today I want to talk from a sense of a very practical message. I don't want to give you something that's going to confuse you. I don't want to give you something that it's not super deep. I was telling the youth last week, I'm not really a teacher. I'm not that smart. I don't really teach stuff. I like to encourage people. I like to make people excited. I like to give them something they can chew on and something they can apply to their life and walk out of here with. But before you even get started with that, I just want to take a second. Pastor Clint, thank you for letting me speak today. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. Y'all, this is a sacred pulpit. And what I'm not saying that we at Believers are better than anybody else, but you don't just let anybody up here to share the message. He ain't going to just trust his sheep with anybody. So it's an honor for me to get up here and share. So thank you for that. But every time I get ready to do a message, it's like the devil always tries to remind you of your past. You ever been in that situation? Every time you get hyped up on something, you get excited about something, it's like the devil tries to remind you of where you were. And then you got to remind him, yes, I was there, but now I'm here. I was out of this, but now I applied this to my life, and I don't live the same. I'm not the same person I used to be. So real quick, if y'all got anything going on, go ahead and tell the devil, get out right now. Turn to your neighbor and say, get out. Y'all don't get up and leave. Please stay. We need y'all. But you got to put the devil in his place sometime. And we're going to get into this, and we're going to talk about the authority and the power of the name of Jesus Christ in a little bit. But you have that authority. When things... all hell is breaking loose and the world is coming against you, you have authority to put things back in right standing. You have authority to tell the devil to get back where he belongs. So today, what I want to talk about, I got a couple questions real quick. How can you live out what the Bible teaches? And you don't have to answer out loud, just ask yourself, how can I live out what the Bible teaches? How can I live out what Jesus taught me? Y'all, I'm pastor now. I still struggle with loving people. I'm being plain and simple. Now, I love all y'all. Y'all ain't done nothing to offend me. But when somebody offends you, it's hard to look at that person in love. Y'all agree? When somebody says some nasty things, it's hard to look at that person in love. But y'all, that's one of the teachings of Jesus, and that's one of the things we're going to talk about today. How can I apply that? How can I look at the unlovable and love them? My goal is I want to reach the unreachable. All the people that society and the world has thrown to the curb, I want to get those people in here on Sunday mornings. I want those people to be sitting beside me serving God on Sunday mornings. So how can I do it? That's what I've titled today. If you got your notepad, you can write it down for your title. How can I do it? If you don't take notes, you can't keep the pen. That's plain and simple. How can I do it? Y'all touch your neighbor. Tell them you're going to learn today. Y'all better do it. Touch your neighbor. You're going to learn today. Let them know. Oh, it's this kind of crowd today. This is how it's going to be today, eh? Okay, okay. It's all right. I don't need y'all's approval. I'm here for God. You know what I'm saying? But real quick, let's pray. Father God, I thank you for today. Father God, I thank you that we can come here today. We can hear your word and we can learn how to apply it to our life, Father God. Father, I pray that you just anoint my lips right now. That everything I say, let it not be cam. Let me get out of the way right now, Father God. Holy Spirit, you have complete control today. Have your way in this place. Give us ears to hear your word. Open our hearts to receive your word today, Father God. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Y'all, I got 6 points. Those 6 points might take 3 minutes and it might take 30. Who knows? But we got 6 points to cover today. Y'all good with that? Good. Don't matter if you wouldn't. Point number one, it all starts at the cross. It all starts at the cross, at the foot of Jesus. John 3:16. I'm going to give y'all a chance to speak out real quick. Can anybody quote that to me real quick? John 3:16. Oh, y'all a bunch of cheaters. Y'all was reading it on the screen, wasn't you? Go ahead and put it back up there. For God so loved the world, he what? Gave. Gave his one and only son. He wasn't forced to come here. He wasn't kicked out of heaven to come here. God gave him to us. He is a gift. You couldn't be in right standing with God without what Jesus did. Like I say, I love doing communion. I absolutely love it. And I love being able to talk about the Old Testament, how the blood of a bull and a goat could only cover you for a year. But what's the blood of Jesus Christ do? I know I've been telling you this a long time. That cleans you for a lifetime. You're cleansed for a lifetime. It starts on the inside. It don't just cover the outward. It covers the inside. It changes you. The gospel changes you from the inside. But because Jesus lived that perfect life, the Bible says, it's very clear. It says the wages of sin is what? Death. Because Jesus never sinned, when he died on the cross, the grave couldn't hold him. Praise God. And now, just like we sang today, he's alive, he is risen, and through that, you have victory over death, hell, and the grave. You have victory through the risen Savior, y'all. That's where it all starts. You got to accept that what he did, that he did it not just for the person sitting beside you, that he did it for you. He looked past all your flaws, he looked past all your failures, and he did it for you. That's kind of hard to wrap your head around sometimes. But it all starts at the foot of the cross. And when you get saved, you're forgiven at that point. You're forgiven. Slate wiped clean right there. And I'd like to say it's a hunky-dory golden road from here on out, but you're finna hit a bunch of bumps in the road. Yes, your sin is forgiven. Your past is wiped clean. You're given a fresh start. But you still got to deal with this. You still got to deal with the flesh. And that's not a overnight process. It's not all going to change just overnight. Y'all know Nick Saban always talks about the process. Any Nick Saban fans in the house? Can I get one Roll Tide? Come on, y'all. I feel sorry for me at least. But Nick Saban's all about the process. And it's so cool because Scott Crocker, and he's their weightlifting coach. Anyways, he'll put up pictures on draft day. And he'll have pictures of these kids when they first come in to Alabama as little. I mean, some of them scrawny, some of them's already huge. But then on draft day, they're totally transformed. That didn't happen in a month. Or in a week. That's a 4-year process. And I guarantee you, it's a whole lot longer than 4 years for God to keep working on your life. It's from the time you say I do, kind of like a marriage. It ain't all going to be perfect. You got to work at it. From the time you say I do, you're going to have to keep working. It's a process. You're going to have to keep going until the very end. My man laughing at me back there. But have y'all ever seen that video of the boy? He's colorblind. I think it was his sister's mom. She gave him new glasses. Have y'all seen that video? I'm a sucker for videos like that. I will cry at the drop of a hat. But this kid is sitting there, and he's looking around, and they come up to him with a, I don't know if they get it in a box or the glasses, that's beside the point, but they handed him the glasses, and he puts them on, and he sees the world for the first time through color. And he gets choked up. He's never seen that before. He's never seen it through those lens before, and he don't know how to take it all in. He just starts crying. His emotions can't handle it. He's crying, his family's crying, the people watching are crying. And I got to thinking, I'm like, you know, that's the way grace is. I was standing right here a while ago before I stepped up, and they showed the thing of motion. I had Mason, you was praising down on motion, had a picture of you. And that thing, just thinking about where I was I used to didn't see people the same way. I used to didn't see my life the same way. But Jesus has done something on the inside of me. And it's like he's handed me one pair of glasses. But instead of seeing the world through color, I see the world through grace now. And like I say, you're still going to have struggles. Don't believe it's all going to be perfect. But that boy seeing color for the first time, I feel that's what it's like to a new believer when you realize, whoa, look at all the people that need Jesus. Look at this world that needs Jesus. We're in a lost, a hurting world. But when I committed my life to Jesus, I'm not one of them guys, I couldn't tell you the day, the time, all that happened. I could tell you the place that it happened. It was at Midland Baptist Church in Midland. And we was at a wild game supper there. And the guy preached a message, and I've shared this several times, but the guy preached a message on how you'd be so surprised if you would just let God use you. If you'd lay your life over to Christ, give your life to Christ, and let him use you. And I made that decision. I said, God, I've lived 20 years Cam's way. And it wasn't working. It wasn't working at all. But when I committed my life to Christ that night, I didn't just say a prayer in the church and left and went back to being the same person. I had a change of heart. I wanted to make a difference in my friends' lives, in my family's lives. Sorry about that. But I was excited. I was driven. Luke Combs said it best. He was sitting on G waiting on O. I was excited, ready to make a difference. But you know, you can have all the passion in the world, all the drive in the world, but if you ain't got no direction, what good is it? You can run around like a chicken with your head. You remember the safety meeting? They talked about that one time. So there's always that one guy on the crew that runs around and he's wide open, but nothing gets accomplished. I don't want to be like that. I want to go straight to the point. I want to be in the middle of it doing exactly what I need to do to get the job done. So our job as Christians is to what? Jesus told us in the Great Commission, go and make what? Go and make disciples. So how can I be effective at going and making disciples? Brings us to point two. Make time for God. Psalms 119:11. It tells us, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. You know, if you're going to hide something in your heart, that's some serious meditation. There's a song I like. It says, if they were to take all the Bibles away from you, would you still know Scripture? Would you still be able to quote the Word of God? Spend time in God's Word, y'all. We live in a world that's constantly moving, 24/7. There's always something going on. When is there ever time to slow down? I think I've had 2 Saturdays off since March or something like that. And nobody did it but me. But it's so easy to commit yourself to so much stuff and get to running so ragged to never have any me time. Well, y'all, we serve a God that don't deserve seconds. He don't deserve sloppy seconds. He needs your best. He needs your first. You know, when you do have free time, I catch myself when I get home from work, me and Jen talk a little bit, and I pull up my phone, and you start scrolling through Facebook or scrolling through Twitter, stuff like that. What good is that doing? You're just being nosy, looking at everybody else's life. Plain and simple. And they're doing the same thing with you. And it ain't like you're getting the real them. Everybody else is just putting their highlight reel, so you're like, oh, look how nice they look today. I look like crap. Well, they don't post the pictures when they look like crap. You know what I mean? It's everybody's highlight reel. You don't get the real them on there. Look at Snapchat. Anybody Snapchatting here? How many different filters is on Snapchat to make you look a certain way? Nobody wants raw no more. Nobody wants the real you anymore. People's, what you embarrassed about? God made you that way. My daddy told me this morning, this is a side note right here. Daddy told me this morning, he's preaching at his church this morning, and he said, you know that we were made in God's image? Yeah, Daddy, I know that. He said, well, think about it. In Genesis, God spoke everything into formation, right? But with man, he didn't just speak it. With man, he took his hand and got down and picked up the dirt. He didn't just speak that. He made that. Y'all get what I'm saying? Y'all get where I'm going with this? You were made in God's image. It don't matter what a filter tries to make you look like. It don't matter how many likes you get on a post, retweet. You were made in God's image. We'll take up offering later. That was free of charge right there. But we live in a world that's so go, go, go. You know, you got to slow it down sometimes. It's nice just to have a day off sometimes, just to slow down and dive into the Word of God. You know, I talked to Mr. Mel one time. He said there's two reasons people read the Bible. To study for themselves and to have something to say. I don't want to study this just to have something to say on Sunday mornings. I don't want Sunday to be my highlight day, you know, where that's the day I can tell you all about what I just read. I want to be reading this thing every day of the week, making it familiar, hiding that word in my heart. Because I don't want to sin against God. Getting it familiar, getting it down deep. Y'all, it's easy to spend time with God when you think about it. Instead of picking up that phone, hey, I'm preaching to myself too now. Instead of picking up that phone, scrolling through nonsense on social media, there's also a Bible app on that phone. Or believe it or not, there's a button on the side or the top, whichever kind of phone you got. You can actually turn that phone off. And you can actually pick up a Bible, a paper Bible, and read the Word of God. Can I get an amen? You know, at your job, it's funny how people complain about jobs. We all know somebody who complains about a job, right? If you've complained about your job, hopefully your boss ain't in here, but raise your hand. Why are you complaining about something you prayed for at one time? Oh, it just hit the fan, didn't it? That job you're so hating on and all that stuff, you prayed for that at one time. And God's given it to you. Now you want to gripe and complain about it? But even when you're at work, I'm blessed with a great job. I have a great boss. But at my job, we cut grass a lot. We're on a tractor a lot. And there's so much alone time, it's easy just to sit there and pray. It's easy to just put your headphones in on the lawnmower and just listen to the Word of God. Listen to other pastors preach. Listen to praise and worship. But you can find time in your day to make time for God. Y'all agree? So make time for God. That's point number two. Point number three is, what's your reason? Anybody watch The Office? Why are you the way that you are? Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Verse 2. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Real quick, if you did this, I'm sorry, but I'm finna talk about it. I do not like to see on Facebook when people film themselves going to give somebody something. He says here, don't let the left hand know what the right hand's doing, but instead of just letting the other hand know, you're letting the whole world know. And it's almost like, hey, look what I did. Y'all, that ain't what it's about. That ain't what it's about. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues on the streets to be honored by others. When you do that, the reward you get is the praise you get from them. That's it. And praise from people don't amount to a whole lot, y'all. I'm not doing this to please other people. I want you to move out of compassion for people. Be moved so much that you just want to make a difference in somebody's life. You don't care who sees it. If nobody sees it or 100 people sees it, it don't matter. Don't do stuff just for people to praise you. Rich Wilkerson told us at Motion one year, he said, public emotion is nothing, absolutely pointless without private devotion. So unless you're staying in the Word, you know, unless you're reading God on the off the screen where nobody can see, don't try to be holier now when the camera's out. You know what I mean? When you're in front of the crowd, it don't work that way. You should never give out of self-gain. I know a fella, he's all about helping people. But every time he helps you, he's working an angle. He's trying to see how you can help him back. That's not the way it's supposed to be. I'm sure we all know people like that. It's not supposed to be that way. You don't give just to get back from other people. You know, I heard a preacher say, he says, if you get it from people, if you do it for people, then you got to get it from people. If you do it for the fulfillment of people, you got to be fulfilled by that person. That's not the way it works. People will let you down every day. People will let you down every time. Our hope ain't in a man. Our hope ain't in a person. You know, there's a scripture when Jesus is asking Peter who he is, and Peter's like, well, you're the Son of God. You're the Messiah. You're the Son of God. And Jesus tells him, he's like, as sure as your name is Peter, on this rock I'll build my church. People have twisted that and said he's building his church on Peter. The church ain't built on a man. The church is built on Jesus, who is the Son of God, that is the Messiah. Don't get it twisted. Man will let you down every time. The church is built on the rock, which is Jesus. That is what the church is built on. But you know, trying to get fulfillment from people, you'll never be satisfied. Y'all know about Jesus at the woman at the well. She was on her sixth husband, something like that, boyfriend, something like that, whatever they were. She kept trying to find fulfillment in a man. Guys and girls, you'll never find fulfillment in the opposite sex. Yes, you can love them with all your heart, but they don't define who you are. They don't make you who you are. Only one person can fulfill you to the life you're called to live, and that's Jesus Christ. So you're drinking from the wrong well, you're steady trying to thirsty people. You know what I'm saying? We've all met some thirsty people. They go for whatever's in the refrigerator. You get thirsty enough, you will. We was at the house one time, y'all, there was some V8. I guarantee it been there 2 months. But I was so thirsty, I'm like, I got to have something to drink. And it was absolutely disgusting. And if I wasn't so thirsty, I'd have never even thought about it. But when the thirst is real, you got to try to quench it with something, and you're going to keep finding and keep trying and keep trying, and you'll never be fulfilled. Jesus, he is the well that don't run dry, y'all. You get hungry for stuff. You try to cram more and more in. He's the bread of life. He is everything that you need to be fulfilled. You don't have to keep trying to find it from boy to boy, from girl to girl, from job to job. It don't work that way. There's only one that can bring you fulfillment. Step number 4, and this is a huge one. Don't hide when you mess up. Anybody here ever messed up? Royally messed up, dropped the ball? I have several times. And y'all heard my story before. When I messed up, I ran from God for a couple months. Because, you know, if you hide from God, he can't see you. I don't know what kind of theology I was thinking, but I'm like, you know, with a little kid, you play peekaboo with them. They can stand behind right here and cover their eyes. And as long as they can't see you, you can't see them. Y'all, God ain't playing peekaboo with you. He's not playing peekaboo. He sees everything. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 23 through 24. Am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord? Am I only in Sylvania? Can I not see what's happening in Statesboro? And not a God far away? 24, let's see what it says. Who can hide in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heavens and earth, declares the Lord? There ain't nowhere you can go that God can't see you. Your wife might not see you. Your husband may not see you. Your boyfriend, girlfriend. Those text messages you deleted. Hey, nobody saw that. He did. That's a gut check moment there. You can't hide from God. They always said at football practice on film, the eye in the sky don't lie. Well, that's a much bigger eye, and he ain't lying. But you can never, never hide from God. You know, you're going to fail. You're going to fall flat on your face. It's going to happen. John Gray says, it's human nature to fail, to miss the mark. But it's God's nature to restore you, to bring you back, to launch you into destiny. Y'all listen to this. You can never out-sin the love of God. You can never out-sin the love of God. I don't care how messed up you are, how far away you are. There is nothing you can do that reckless love we sang about will not come chasing you down, kicking down walls, tearing down lies that the enemy has thrown up in your face. He kicks it all down, gets it all out the way. He's chasing after you. But he's such a gentleman, he will never force himself onto you. And as soon as you stop running and just turn around, he's right there with arms wide open saying, come back to me. Come back to me. That's where the fulfillment comes from. Point number 5, and this is something we as a church need to be just desperate for. And that's the point. Be desperate for Jesus. Have a sense of desperation. God, I need you. Jesus, I need you with everything. In Matthew chapter 9, verses 20 through 22, you know, we talked about this before. I preached a message on this about a woman with the issue of blood. If she said, if I could just touch his cloak. Just then a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, if I only touch his cloak, I will be healed. She didn't say, I can. She said, I will be healed. If I can just touch his cloak. Yo, this woman, she's been bleeding for 12 years. She spent everything she had on doctors. It ain't gotten no better. It's only gotten worse. She hears Jesus is coming into town. She's like, hey, I got to get to him. I'm desperate. Something's got to change in my life. I'm desperate. Anybody ever been there before? This way ain't working. I got to get out of this. I need help. I need you, Jesus. And this woman fights her way through the crowd. You know, she was ceremonially unclean because she was bleeding. She ain't supposed to touch nobody. Well, tell me this. How you going to walk through a crowd that everybody's trying to get around Jesus and you trying to get there too? How are you not going to touch somebody? She was breaking every rule, but she knew she had to get to him. Desperate people do desperate things. Desperate times calls for desperate measures. We need to be a church that's desperate for the love of God, desperate to see God move in our lives. Anybody believe that today? You look all out through the Bible, and you see all these desperate situations and people doing everything they could to get to God, everything they could to get to Jesus. There's a sense of desperation when you know you have no hope but one thing, and you will stop at nothing until you get there. I'm going to bring us back to my life real quick. When I was in high school, there was a pretty little blonde-headed girl I started dating. And I made a boo-boo. Yep. And she broke up with me. And she would not give me the time of day for nothing. She wouldn't give me the time of day for nothing. And I was there on the ag hall, and she walked by. I called her name. She just kept walking. I'm like, she really didn't make me do this. I called her name again, and she wouldn't stop. And y'all, I literally, when I say ran hard as I could down the hallway screaming her name. And then when I get there, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you calling me. What? But I knew with all my heart, I was desperate. I was in love with that girl. I had to get her. That was my baby. Had to get to her. And then 8 years later, I didn't have to run for her anymore. I stood at the altar, and she walked down to me. But the same way that I was desperate for Jen, I want to be even more desperate for Jesus. I don't want to miss God, you know what I mean? If he's moving, I want in on it. You know, if the stars and the rocks cry out praises, I want in on that. I don't want to miss out on what God has to offer. And my whole life I've had this problem with complacency. Complacency is not a good thing, y'all. Not at all. It's not a good thing. And my whole life, I remember in school, I was a C student. Yeah, I made a couple A's and B's in like electives, because that's just what you do in electives. But my thing was, as long as I could make a C and I could get the same diploma as somebody with an A got, I was happy with that. I was fine with just getting by. I remember my senior year of football. I got pretty strong. I said, I'm strong enough. I'm big enough, fast enough. I didn't really hit the weights like I needed to. I become complacent. And Daddy used to stay on my butt about that. Don't get complacent. Keep pushing in. Keep pressing in. Well, y'all, with my spiritual life, I don't want to become complacent. I don't want to say, oh, you know, I've shared enough. I've talked enough Sundays. I don't really have to prepare like I used to. I can just get it here and kind of wing it. I live half my life winging stuff, y'all. I'm not fixing to get up here and talk to a crowd of people about the love of God winging it. I'm not fixing to live my life half-heartedly. Oh, you know, I know a couple of scriptures. I know enough. I don't have to really study the Word of God anymore. Don't become complacent. Don't get to the point where you think you don't need God more than ever. Complacency is pretty much the same thing as stagnant. You're just sitting still. Well, y'all, we serve a God that's not sitting still. He's steady on the move. He's steady doing something in somebody's life. I don't want to be sitting right here and him be walking by. Just how that woman was standing right there and she saw Jesus walking by. I don't want to just sit and watch him. I want to do what she did, and I want to take off to him. And I want to grab a hold and hang on wherever he's going. You know, he needs to lead you. You don't need to try to lead Jesus. You need to jump on his agenda, on his program. Don't let him, or don't you try to tell him what you need for him to do. I think when we pray, sometimes we pray all wrong. God, do this for me. I need this. I need that. Give it to me this way, however you want. We need to be praying, God, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? But you know, you see all those stories in the Bible where people's getting healed by their faith. Faith is the anchor. We all agree? Faith is, you know, assurance of what we hope for, but we can't see. But if you take just an anchor, you go to the river, you throw your anchor out, it ain't tied to nothing, what good you do? You just wasted an anchor. That anchor has got to be tied to something. Our faith has to be tied to something. And what it's tied to is knowing the authority of the name of Jesus. The power of the name of Jesus. The reason the people all throughout the Bible, the reason they came to Jesus is because they knew he had the authority to make things happen. We serve a God who can make things happen. That's something to get excited about, y'all. The name of Jesus, there's a weight to it. We sang a song about it this morning. We sang another song and said the church will reign from glory to glory in the name of Jesus. Everything we do is through the name of Jesus. The reason I'm up here today and not sitting somewhere else, not even in church, is because of the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood of Jesus. You know, this is free too, side note. Boys and girls, if y'all ain't got a wife or a husband yet, find somebody who will pray for you. Don't just shack up with any old bum. Find somebody who wants what's best for you, who will actually spend time praying for you. Spend time in the Word of God studying this. You don't want just anybody. You want who God's got sent for you. Let's get back to the message now. But the power in the name of Jesus, Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 and 11. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should what? Bow. In heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Y'all, we serve the risen King. We serve the Lord of Lords. There is a power and a weight to the name of Jesus. I say this illustration all the time, and I'll continue to say it because I love the way Mr. Bill illustrated it to me. But he says, when you go in this dark room, cut every light off in here. When you flip that switch and the light comes in, what's the darkness do? Got to go. When you bring Jesus into a situation, the darkness has to go. Y'all, chains break at the weight of the name of Jesus. People are set free by the name of Jesus, by the power of that name. It's not something you just kind of haphazardly, whatever that word is, kind of throw out there. That's something you cling to. There's power in that name. Yo, I've seen prayer. I've seen lay hands on people and pray. I've seen sick people be healed in the name of Jesus. I've got friends that were lost that I've prayed for by the name of Jesus. And now they're saved. There is power in the name of Jesus. We as a church got to cling on to that. Everything you do, we're not doing it for self-gain. We're not doing it for just trying to build our name. We're trying to build the name of Jesus. And as long as you go out in the name of Jesus, there ain't nothing that can stop you. There's nothing that can stop you. We were talking about Jesus and Peter earlier. When Jesus told him, he says, you know, sure is your name Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church. The second part of that, and the gates of hell will what? Shall not overcome it. Will not overcome it. As long as you go out in the name of Jesus, there's nothing that can stop you. Darkness has to flee. Sickness has to flee in the name of Jesus. You realize when you speak the name Jesus, the demons, they're terrified. They're shuddering in fear right now. The things that are once trying to hold on to you, when you start speaking the name of Jesus, they start cringing because they can't stand it. The devil don't want you to know this because he can't fight the name of Jesus. He can't stand up to the name of Jesus because we just read, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is above all. Over all he reigns. You know, this message, when I was preparing for it, it felt so empty. It felt so empty. I'm over the time now, I think. But it's funny because here I am thinking, we might make it 5 minutes on this. God, I don't know how you're going to do this. And I called my dad and I was talking to him. He said, son, this is the best kind. That's what you mean. He said, you know, there's sometimes you have your message ready, you're ready to tear the walls down, tear the house down. He said, well, son, the house is still going to get tore down. But now God's showing you that he's doing it through you, and it's nothing to do with you. All he needs is a mouthpiece. I don't know how we've went this long, other than the blood of Jesus, other than the power of his Holy Spirit. And I don't know who this is for today. But I feel like as Christians, we're in a world where things are tough. It's hard to live right sometimes. There's always stuff coming against us. There's always an attack. But I've already told y'all, with every attack, there's always an advance after that. And the devil's trying his best to shut you up, trying his best to keep you quiet. He don't want you to share what's on the inside of you. But how do you overcome? How do you defeat the devil? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of what? Your testimony. Tell people what God's done in your life. He's given you a song to sing, y'all. You have a song to sing. Jesus Christ has paid it all. You are a joint heir with Jesus. You got to quit trying to figure out how to fix things you can't control. Yeah, there's some things in the flesh you can take care of. You can shut your mouth instead of popping back off somebody else. You can fix that. But sickness and stuff like that, you got to give that to God. When somebody in your family is under a spiritual attack, you got to give that to God. You got to stand on the name of Jesus. You got to apply the blood over the situation. We overcome by the name of Jesus. Y'all, before I ever did this, I felt laid on my heart that the Holy Spirit wanted to have an altar call. And if you've never accepted Jesus, please come down. And we'll have a second for that. I'll let y'all know. If the band, y'all come on up, please. But it's not only for salvation. If you've got ailments, if you've got sickness, if you've got something you've been believing with God about and you want somebody just to pray with you, y'all, I'm fixing to stand right down here on the front. And I'm encouraging y'all, please, don't be bashful. If you've got something that's been needing prayer, something's been nagging you, please come down to the front. And I'm going to walk and I'm going to pray with each and every one of y'all. I don't know what's going on in your life, but I don't think it's a mistake that you're here today. I don't think you came here by accident. I think I was sent here to tell somebody that, yeah, life is tough, but there's a couple things I can do on my own to get through this thing called life, to lean on Jesus, to study His Word, to spend time with Him daily, to stand on that name of Jesus. So whatever's going on in your life,